Welcome back to the Inside Texas YouTube channel. I'm your host here, Evan Veith, alongside Eric Nalin, right outside of the University of Texas at Austin, where we just got done with the second practice of the fall camp. Eric, you were focused a lot on the offense today. What did you see, especially from the pass catchers, that kind of caught your eye?
Yeah, I wanted to watch offensive line a little bit more, but it's so hard to get a vantage point on them. They practice far away. The note there was that DJ Campbell didn't participate today. We don't think that that's anything serious, precautionary. Probably had something to do with the heat. Very hot out here, as you'd expect. Watched a lot of the quarterbacks versus wide receivers. Honestly, Parker Livingston, I don't want to create hype around him, but he looks like one of the more talented players on the team to me. Plays very big, uses full catch radius at 6'3.5", almost 6'4". But he also plays small as well. When he runs routes, he sinks his hips, snaps his routes off. A lot of this was on air, so we need to see it more proof against quarterbacks and all that. But we've heard in spring ball that he's doing well in that regard. He looked really good. Also like Jack Endries, the tight end from Cal. He had a full extension catch today where, he made the quarterback look good. But he also gets upfield really quick. He's a good athlete, good change of direction. I think he's going to have a big year. Pencil him for 50 catches and probably, second, third round draft pick, maybe fourth round, depending on how big he is. The quarterbacks look good. Again, we're only seeing them on air, but you could tell the accuracy. You could tell the velocity on the passes. They were throwing deep outs like number three Quinn Ewers was back out there. They were right on time. If I had a negative today, it was probably there was a few too many drops. A couple of receivers have had a few over the last couple of days. Parker Livingston, not one of them. Ryan Wingo was out today. We noted that on InsideTexas.com. Again, it's just precautionary. Don't worry about that. It's just noteworthy that he wasn't out there. I really like what I see from the receivers. DeAndre Moore looks really sudden after the catch, runs really good routes as well. I think they're in a pretty good spot for second day of camp.
And I do want to get your take on two freshmen because they noted yesterday that Michael Terry had his best probably day as a Longhorn since he's gotten here. But
yeah,
you thought that this might have been his best day today. And then also Dalen McCutcheon, who I thought looked really impressive in punt return.
Yeah, with Terry, I accidentally threw a little shade out. Well, not accidentally. I kind of question whether or not he's going to be a slot receiver for this team just because his body type isn't really what Sark is always looking for. He can be little Jordan Humphrey without a doubt, but Sark doesn't really utilize that sort of slot. Well, I saw him make some plays today that kind of caught my attention. I noted number 11 a couple times. He had a really good crossing route. Sark was playing middle linebacker, playing leverage on the ball. He made some good cuts after that. And then he had a vertical shot that he caught. They looked pretty natural, showed good long speed. I was pretty impressed. Dalen McCutcheon, very natural. We talked about he's going to get the baton from DeAndre Moore. DeAndre Moore got it from Jordan Whittington. He's going to have the same sort of leadership skills. He's going to be an inside-outside guy, can play anywhere, could play any receiver position. And, yeah, he looks really good. He looks natural as a punt returner. That could be in his future as well. But he's got stiff competition this year. DeAndre Moore was there again as punt returner one. And I believe Ryan Niblett was out there as well.
Yeah, and they basically confirmed that this is more Niblett than Wisner on kick return are going to be the guys this season. But heading over to the defensive side of things, where I was able to go around a lot of the defensive tackles and the defensive linemen today, and I noted that in an article I just dropped that four guys, if you count Marad Watson, is about 327, are at that 330 or higher mark, yeah. Which Cole Brevard looks every single part of that 350 round pounds. Someone said to me that his calves, they are a different level of strong. But that group, the two that keep coming up, and you wrote about this yesterday, Eric, is Hero Canoe and Travis Shaw, because in all of these drills, whether it be the pad level drills or just about getting their hands and explosiveness, those are the two that continue to line up as the ones and look kind of like the best players, which if you'd asked me maybe 2 months ago where I saw Canoe and Shaw, it probably wouldn't be as the number ones, but that's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah, here's the thing about these D-tackles, and I noted this earlier in July from our sources. You don't always hear this about D-tackles, but that room has very high football character, very good mental evaluations in that room, and it's kind of surprising. I've noted this on one of the Inside of the Programs. You don't often get that from D-tackles, and then you kind of look into it with transfers because you don't know them as well. Obviously, high school evaluation is going to be different. You get to know them quite well, and there's a reason why you push for the guys you do. You just don't get this level of commitment, football character. Like I said, a couple of these guys are Torrey Beckman's favorites. That's, Cole Brevard and Hero Canoe. And you wouldn't hear that in the past about the defensive tackles. A lot of those guys mature into form over time. Here I can see why they got a fight on their hands. There's a lot of competition because everybody's hungry. A lot of these guys are in contract years. Everybody's fighting for snaps. I am way more excited about that D-tackle room than I anticipated that I would be in January. And a lot of it has to do with just, hey, man, these guys are big and they play hard. And there's really no substitute for that. Any factor in the athletic gifts, I think that room is going to surprise a lot of people nationally.
Yeah, I think the most gifted one in that room from what I observed was Marad Watson, which it's obvious that they're kind of getting him into speed here. They asked him to redo some of the drills multiple times, which you notice that and you say maybe that's a negative thing. And then when he does get it right, which sometimes it just seemed like he was doing the wrong thing the coach wanted to do, his hands are so explosive and he's got really good lower body leverage. I thought that was an important player to look out for because it seems like he and Alex January are kind of that same mold of defensive tackle.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a one-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
Yeah, you know, we forget that he's still a young player because he was a transfer. He only transferred after his freshman year. Texas is going to get at least 2 years out of him. He's still got a lot to learn. That's one thing I noticed when they got him. I said he's not a finished product, but the beginning point for him is very exciting. He's going to play a lot. He's going to work his way up that depth chart. We'll see where he ultimately ends towards the end of August. But, yeah, very bright future. And, you know, you could tell why the coaches, when they coach somebody hard, it means they love you. It means they want you to play this year. It means they need you. And you're going to get coached up hard. As long as you respond, they're going to keep working with you.
Yeah, moving a little bit back in the defensive room. You really can't see the edges very well at these practices because they're operating on the other side of the field. But Brad Spence was working with that group. Still seeing good looks from Umeha Zulu and Vasek athletically. But really at linebackers where I wanted to key in on. I tweeted out that Leonga Lefau was first team all quad today because he has made a great jump in what his athletic profile just looks like from the weight room standpoint. Looks like his lower body is a lot stronger than it was last year, which, you know, kind of filling the gaps and getting the run scheme on all three downs was something you weren't able to see him do all the time at points. People were preferring Benda because of that. But he seemed like he was the one that was going with Anthony Hill on most of the first team reps with Trey Moore as kind of that number three, but truly in a three-person rotation. Where do you see that room kind of shaping up as we're going through this fall camp?
You know, Ty Anthony looked like he was limited today. I think that was a heat issue. He looks like $1 million. Some of these guys, you know, they're adjusting the heat. You know, Sark is doing these practices at 3 o'clock intentionally to get them prepared for those first games. Those first games in September, all these, you know, they got, you know, three or four home games in a row after Ohio State, I think. So you got to be ready for the heat. You know, one thing I noted about, you mentioned the quads, and, you know, this is where it gets a little iffy. Not the greatest part about our job, but we do have to notice these things. A lot of these guys are pretty lean in the upper half and then very big in the lower half, you know, fully developed in the quad area. And that's, you know, that's Leonga Lefau as well. And that's where athleticism comes from. It comes from your butt, comes from your back, comes from your legs. And I think Torrey Becton is building these guys in the exact right way. And I think it's no surprise that these guys are performing well at the combine. Leonga entering his third year in the program, this is his time to shine. He got, when he started 10 games last year, you know, that year is going to go a long way towards how he plays this year. I expect him and Hill to be one of the best tandems in the country, and not just because of Hill.
Yeah, and Bo Barnes as well, someone who I think looks really good athletically. He's going to be a key player. He's going to play a lot of special teams. Jonathan Cunningham seemed like he was playing a little bit of linebacker. It was kind of hard to tell what Aquino was saying, whether he wanted him to line up as star or saying no star in some of these RPO drills. But Cunningham was there, and it at least seems like they're really trying to get him integrated to this team, because someone you've heard not too much about since he came in because he's gotten leaner and been playing almost a cornerback role. But at least it's good to see that Cunningham's a part of that group. As we move on to the defensive backs, someone that caught my eye, especially because of what we heard from another guy in his group and who was seemingly starting above him, was Wardell Mack, because you talked about length on your article yesterday. That is a lengthy man. His arms are going down to his knees, which is pretty crazy. And horizontally, he's moving really well. That RPO drill thing that we saw at the end of practice, one that they took a lot of time on because that's the modern football game. And I thought Wardell Mack looked as good as anyone out there. And it's so hard because maybe he's not even the second choice star, or he's starting against Ohio State. There's just so many mouths to feed in the defensive back room, but he's someone that I want to see get a lot of playing time, at least in those weeks 2 through 4, just to get him up to speed with the rest of the team.
Yeah, he had that interception last year. He used all that length that you're talking about. I mean, he does have – that was part of the evaluation out of high school. Exceedingly long arms for his height. He's about 6 foot, I think. Yeah, he's got a bright future. It's a good sign that they moved him to star, because that tells you that they trust him to evaluate, to diagnose plays. Now, he's got a battle on his hands with old Grayson Littleton. Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. And then, of course, they can always move a safety there as well. You know, I think the nickels are actually practicing or working in the same room as the safeties.
They are.
That means Akina's in charge of them. And so we could see some – we have yet to see some – the fully developed product at star there. You could see Jordan Johnson-Rebell play there, one of the other safeties maybe. So we haven't got the full view there, but Wardell Mack has a lot of upside. And, you know, he could probably play true corner. It doesn't have to be slot.
And just remember, this offensive back group, even with losing Barron and Makuba, returning five guys who were starting last year, doesn't even mention Kobe Black. They're, I noted, 14 deep, even without Zella Six and Caleb Chester, who are probably going to redshirt this year. So they've got three lines no matter what in these games, two through four, like I said, where they're playing some of the lesser-known teams. One last thing, Eric, because I noticed you tweeted about this. You muttered under your breath that Texas has a punter this year, and you had a staffer kind of go, yeah, that's correct. They finally do. Yeah. What did you see from Bo Meester today? Because he was doing a lot of punts out
there. Well, I saw it yesterday, too, and I forgot to make note of it in my article after practice. But I saw it again today, and it jogged my memory that, yeah, he's, you know, I'm counting to five. Maybe I count a little fast. I don't know. But he's got plenty of hang time. He's knocking the crap out of the ball. Yeah, and I said under my breath, I said they got a punter this year. And one of the support staffers looked back and said, that's an understatement. I also got another conversation with, well, not a real conversation, but a note from another support staffer, strength conditioning staffer. You know, I said, I got a lot of readers that question whether or not Jalen Gilboa has the speed for corner. And I said, you know, I dispute that. I think he's got plenty of speed. And the guy goes, well, you know, what do you think he'll run? I think he's, you know, I said he's sub 4.45. I think league average at corner is 4.45. So he's, I think he's faster than league average in the NFL. And he looked at me, smiled, and said, yeah, you'd be about right. So, you know, we could put that we could dispel that myth that Gilboa's not fast enough. But that doesn't mean he's going to beat out Kobe Black. It doesn't mean he's going to play a lot.
Kind of information you only get over at Inside Texas. That's going to do it for us here right outside the University of Texas at Austin. Texas is going to continue practicing over the next few weeks as they lead up to the Ohio State game. Thank you all so much for watching. I've been Evan alongside Eric. We'll see you next time.